Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us once again to return to your word, to be able to do some study and help us now as we get into it to understand it and use it in the right way. Thank you so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing with our Bible study from A to Z in word encouragement, we will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. We find some very encouraging words concerning the subject of what we call the rapture, or the catching up, or to be caught up. The word rapture is not found in the King James Version. The word rapture is a transliteration of a word found in the Latin Vulgate, which means to be caught up. And we're speaking of the rapture as being the event when the Lord comes back and receives us up to be with Him and initiates the tribulation time and so forth. And we get into it here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, picking up verse 13, where it reads, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now, those which asleep here, the reference he's using is asleep. He's speaking of the born-again Christians that have physically left their bodies, have passed away or died. And as it says, even as others which have no hope, that hope is that confident anticipation and expectation of the fulfillment of the prophecies and promises of God that we find in His Word. And when we have that confidence, then we have that hope. And we know that His Word tells us that He loves and cares for us. He's going to give us life everlasting when we trust in Him, and that He's prepared a place for us and is going to come back again and receive us up to be with Him. And this is those references here. Let's read that again in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, even unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We've done several studies on the rapture, which you can go back to and reference, but here with the encouraging word study that we're on, we'll just go with what we have right here, which is these very encouraging words that the Lord is going to come back and get us, and that at that moment we'll receive that glorified body, the glorified body that we read about over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. About how in a moment and twinkling of an eye we'll be receiving that glorified body, uncorruptible and immortal body, and it'll be at that moment. And we're going to then rise up, and we're going to go up to be with the Lord for the judgment seat of Christ for the born-again Christians. Time down on the earth will be the battle of Gog and Magog and the rapture and so forth going on before we all come back and rule and reign with Jesus Christ during the 1,000 years of the millennial period. All right, now turn on over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 16. Here we see some very encouraging words and also some guidelines for us as born-again Christians, what we need to continuously to do in order to have the kind of peace that is available to us if we follow these guidelines. In verse 16, "Rejoice evermore." A very tough one to do, because sometimes things are going on in your life that you don't feel very joyful about or anything to rejoice over. The loss of a loved one or hardship that you're dealing with, financial or physical, and you don't feel like rejoicing. But what does he tell us? Rejoice evermore. Because there's always something to rejoice about. If nothing else, rejoice about what we have to look forward to for eternity. That's enough to rejoice about no matter what's going on in this realm, in this world. be rejoicing still, because we know what we have to look forward to for eternity. Rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Another very critical factor there, critical behavior. What we need to do is pray without ceasing. Too many people start their prayer and they end it with amen. It's like you hanging up the phone. You're no longer talking to the Lord. And they quit. And then they go back and they, well, let me pray again. And they reconnect. And then they hang up. Amen. When you are praying in a formal setting, when you're praying with a group, or praying over something in particular, and you initiate that prayer, and then you finish that prayer with an amen, that doesn't mean you quit praying the rest of that day. You pick up right from that, praying silently or orally, however you want to, and pray all day long, constantly communicating, and that keeps that relationship right there in everything that you're doing. When you're constantly talking to the Lord, you're constantly thanking the Lord, constantly praising the Lord, then He's right there with you. And then it alters everything that you do in that day, because then you're less likely to do something that's against the Lord when you're in a conversation with Him at the time. So pray without ceasing. Wake up in the morning, you start praying, you don't stop praying until you fall asleep praying at night. And just continuously, constant communication with the Lord all throughout the day and night. Whatever the opportunity is, there's always something in it to rejoice about or to acknowledge or to pray about, or if it's a concern that you have, whatever it is, talk to the Lord. Because that's what it is, it's communication. So communicate without ceasing. Always have that connection made. Never hang up on the Lord saying, okay, I'm done talking to you now. I'll come back some other time and talk again. No, you constantly speak to the Lord, openly speaking or right within yourself. But have that constant communication with the Lord. Very important. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a tough one sometimes as well, just like to rejoice evermore. You're supposed to give thanks for everything. You step out and you slip on some ice and you fall down the stairs and you break your leg. You say, thank you, Lord. Yes, say thank you, Lord. It could have been your neck. So there's always something to be thankful for. Even in the midst of some of the hardships that we're enduring, it's still something to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. Even in the midst of the challenges, the trials, the persecutions, the hardships, still give thanks to the Lord. And this is truly something that most folks fail to do, is to give thanks. They do not appreciate what they've been given. Their body, their opportunities, their salvation, their family, so many things to be thankful for. But yet, they fail to do that. They're so worried about what they don't have, or so worried about what isn't going exactly like they want it to go, that they forget to give thanks for what they do have. It's sad, but that is way too often the situation. But what does He tell us to do? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you want to stay in the will of God, then you need to constantly be thanking Him for what He's already done for you, what He's promised to do for you, what He's going to do for you, and what He is doing for you. Always give thanks. Verse 19, quench not the Spirit. Another one that we got to be very careful about. Because when you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Ghost within you. And He's constantly communicating to your spirit and constantly communicating to the Heavenly Father. Constant link, always. So we need to be listening up to what the Holy Ghost is telling our spirit. So we stay spiritually minded, then we have that connection. But when we get in the flesh, when we pull away, it's kind of like that we want to put a gag on the Holy Ghost. Like, well, I don't want to hear you right now because you're telling me I shouldn't be doing this, so I'm just going to gag you and push you off to the side and do what I want to do. That's quenching of the Spirit. So we got to be very careful what we want to do that is our own will and not the will of God. That's the problem. Way too many times we seek our own will, and when we're seeking our own will, we are quenching the Spirit. So always yield, always submit, and be thankful. Pray continuously. Rejoice evermore. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. It's interesting that he plugs this one in here. This is be aware of the prophecies, the things that are going to be, such as judgment, accountability, but also the things that are going to be happening on this planet that you might be upset about. Anything that is within the prophecies that you're like, well, I don't like this part of it, I hope this don't come true. That's, you would be despising the prophecies in that situation. So we need to be very careful not to despise the prophecies, because all the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. So respect them, honor them. Despise not prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. This proving of all things is to test and look at, analyze, to make sure. Some folks criticize somebody that is skeptical, but it's actually good to be skeptical concerning everything. You need to look at it, make sure. Is it the right spirit or not? Is it coming from the Lord, or is it coming from man? Is it coming from the Word of God, or is it coming from the Word of man? It's very important that we be careful in everything that we do. We need to look at it, analyze it. What is the source? Consider the source, as I say. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So if we prove all things, hold fast that which is good, then we can abstain from all appearance of evil. Because we've looked at it, we've analyzed it, we've tested it. Is this something good or is this something bad? Listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll tell you, and then you can abstain from the appearance of all evil. And what happens when you do these things? This is what is very encouraging. So when we rejoice, when we pray, when we're thankful, when we're listening up to the Spirit, when we're looking forward to the fulfillment of the prophecies, when we test things and when we abstain from all appearance of evil, then verse 23 kicks in, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You become blameless when you lift everything up and give it to the Lord, when you yield fully to His will, when you ask for forgiveness when you do something wrong, then you'll be found blameless. That is very encouraging that we know that we can do that, that we can get clean and stay clean, and that we in this also can find that we are a Trinity. Just like the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we are body, soul, and spirit. When we come into this world, we are spiritually dead because of what Adam and Eve did back in the garden. But we have an eternal soul and a body. So what are you going to do? Stay spiritually dead? No. You want to receive life in that spirit. Become born again. It's quickened, brought back to life. Then you become a Trinity. Body, soul, and living spirit. That spirit communes with the Holy Ghost. When you trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you become spiritually minded, you become a new creature in Christ, and then you are a Trinity once again, body, soul, and spirit. Because we are created in the image of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, body, soul, and spirit. Very encouraging. All right, now if you would turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, pick it up here in verse 16, where it reads, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. A little bit of encouragement there that Paul's sending to the church at Thessalonica and letting us know what we have. We have everlasting life by the grace of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that He can comfort our hearts and establish us to be a part of a good work, which he allows us to be a part of his work. And that's the wonderful thing, that he allows us to be a part of his work. Then we don't have to come up with all of it on our own. We merely need to come to him willing to do what he wants us to do, and then get right in it and do it. And that is very encouraging, because it is his work and he allows us to be a part of, which is really, really awesome. All right, now if you will turn over to 1 Timothy, and here we see some references to, or I should say some more references to the grace. And grace is unmerited favor that we have from the Lord. It isn't that we earned the things that he gives us. He gives them to us because he loves us. Just like salvation is available to us because he loves us. And we go turn ourselves over to him, and he gives us a new mind, and he indwells us with his spirit, brings our spirit back to life, and adopts us into the family, all by grace. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, pick it up verse 12, this is a letter to Timothy from Paul. Timothy was a protege that Paul was teaching to be a pastor and a leader. As he reads here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So Paul is telling Timothy here, acknowledging how he was such a ruthless person that he considered himself chief of sinners, and by the grace of God that he became a born-again Christian and the greatest missionary of all times, as it says there in verse 14 again, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, because of the grace, because of the love, and this comes to everyone that accepts it. You accept it. No matter how evil you think you are, or how evil and horrible things you have done, it doesn't matter. Paul was a scoundrel. He was evil. He was on his way to Damascus to kill some more Christians, to arrest them, bring them back to Jerusalem so they could be tortured and killed. That's the kind of person that Paul was. He calls himself the chief of sinners. And he's acknowledging here that him getting saved was an awesome example showing to others out there. As it said there in verse 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy." Mercy from the Lord, because he loves us. He came to save sinners. He said, "That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life." As a pattern. Showing the example that if the Lord can save somebody as evil as Paul was, that he can save anybody else that we ever see out there, or anyone out there that's listening to this. If you think you're too evil to be saved, well, you're not too evil to be saved. Because the Holy Ghost can call you in, and you yield to that call of the Holy Ghost and accept Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, just like Paul did, and get all that washed away, gone, become a new creature in Christ. Because, as he says there, verse 15 again, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You look back at your life, you think, well, you've been too evil. You've done too many wrong things to ever be worthy of being able to be saved. We're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace. And that is awesome to know that it isn't that we got to clean ourselves up so great, so perfect, and do so many great things and wonderful things and good things and help people, and then we earn our way to salvation. No, doesn't work that way. You receive the finished work of Jesus Christ. You acknowledge the finished work of Jesus Christ. Then He saves you, brings you into the family. Then He cleans you up by the power of the Holy Ghost and then enables you to have an opportunity to do some good works. Maybe do a little bit of payback that way. But you'll never be able to pay back enough to justify salvation. You could live 1,000 lifetimes over and never be able to earn salvation. The Lord has given us that by grace. Available to us by grace. His mercy that He's shown shining upon us. All right, now if you will turn on over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Pick it up in verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here he's speaking specifically to Timothy, reminding him what he's already gone through, that he is a born-again Christian. It reads, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit that the Lord gives us is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And within that, He communicating to our spirit, and that gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we are really spiritually minded, then we display the fruits of the Spirit. And amongst those fruits is the love he's speaking of here, that sound mind and so forth. And when we acknowledge that everything that we do is by the power of Jesus Christ, then we have that power and ability to do things that we couldn't do before. Read that one again. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. These are things that people really need a lot of right now. But it's sad to see so many people right now that are being controlled by their fears, that are being manipulated by fear. The governments around the world is using fear to control people. The fear of this pandemic, the fear of all sorts of things that are going on. And they paralyze people. They control people. And that's what it's all about. They want to control people and want to take their money away from them and force them to be obedient to them. All based on fear. But we got to know that we have power over fear by utilizing the power of Jesus Christ, by tapping into the power and the authority the Holy Ghost gives within us to overcome such things as fear and have that power, but always do it in love and a sound mind. Keep your wits about you. He tells us over and over to wake up, to wise up, to be sober-minded, and when we do that, then we'll have the power to overcome the people that are wanting to paralyze us in fear. Ultimately, it's the devil, of course, that's behind all that. We have power over the devil by the authority of the Holy Ghost. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, We know that when we become born-again Christians, there are going to be persecutors out there. There are going to be those that are going to turn against us. There are even our own family members will turn on us and hate us and want to kill us and so forth. But we got to know that we have the power of the Holy Ghost within us. We have Jesus Christ on our side, and He'll help us through whatever challenge that there is out there so that He can allow us to be a part of His work. So just keep on doing the work, regardless of the kind of persecutions that you might be facing. And know that you can do it by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost. All right, let's read verse 8 again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, here's acknowledging and pointing out once again that we have become part of the family of God because He called us. The Holy Ghost beckoned us to come, beckoned us to repent. And when we do that, then we become part of the family. And it is for a purpose. We have a task to do. So we got to get out there and do that task. And it is all given to us by grace. It isn't because we worked for it, because it says, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. And that's awesome that we can recognize that and see that and know that and get out there and put it to work. Because it's a purpose behind it. That's why you're still here. Otherwise, when He saved us, He would just take us on home. But no, He gives us an opportunity to be part of His work. It's the purpose behind it. And verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here He's talking about where it said before the world began. This was all laid out, a plan right from the beginning, even before He spoke man into existence. And it was manifest or revealed through the finished work of Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That confidence that we can have, knowing that the Lord's right there with us, He'll see us through whatever. When He gives us the task to do it, He'll give us what we need. We just need to be willing to do what He has a purpose for us to do. Very encouraging to know He's right there with us through all of it. So lean upon the Lord, and He'll see you through it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You oh so much for Your encouraging words that we find in Your Word every time we open it. We thank You so much for that as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.